Chuck O'Neill, the amendments are aimed at protecting wetlands and waterways and preventing hunting of iconic species like the Florida black bear. The amendments also would prohibit captive hunting and toll roads through conservation and rural lands. The common thread through a lot of the amendments is rights of nature. What does that mean, rights of nature?
In our society, the way that it was set up originally, there were only a certain few people who were rights-bearing. And generally, when the Constitution was written, that was white property-owning males. And over the course of time, that has changed. It's broadened. Because under the Constitution, you're either a person, which is rights-bearing, or you're property. So over the course of time since 1783, since the Constitution was ratified, that initially, for instance, people of color, slaves in particular, were freed, of course, through the Civil War era. And then in the early 1900s, women were able to vote and were able to gain full personhood. And the evolution of the expansion of these rights is now at a point that we can look at nature not as property, not as something that's a thing, but something that can have rights, not the rights of a person, but to have certain rights, as we do here in Orange County, our waterways have rights.
And how does that affect the effort to protect Florida's environment?
Yeah, the way that we look at Florida's environment right now and the protection of it is through a system of regulations. And a regulation says that you can damage that ecosystem at a certain rate of speed. So it's regulating the decline of the destruction of our natural world, but the end point is always at the system failure, ecosystem failure. We don't really have a system of protecting the environment. We have a system of basically abusing the environment at a regulated rate.
This is an ambitious effort, 5 amendments to the Florida Constitution. Why are the amendments important?
All 5 amendments are part and parcel of an idea to create a body of law in which nature has rights, that we have a rights-bearing entity, our rivers, our wildlife, our conservation lands, that they have certain rights that are able to be upheld in court by any citizen of the state of Florida. Right now, if something were to happen to wetlands or whatever, and you were to object, your methodology under the current system is to write a letter to your state representative or to go to a town hall meeting and stand at a podium and speak for 3 minutes. What these do is it empowers citizens to bring an action, bring a legal action on behalf of these natural entities to say, wait a minute, these entities have rights, and I am here to stand up for those entities to protect the rights that have been incorporated into our Constitution.
Can you give an example? You're engaged in a legal action right now, right here in Central Florida, under the Orange County Charter Amendment.
I am. On November 3rd of 2020, Orange County passed by overwhelmingly, 89%, a charter amendment that gave 4 rights to our water bodies, our natural water bodies within Orange County: the right to exist, the right to flow, the right to be protected against pollution, and the right to maintain a healthy ecosystem. 6 days after that passed, the developer filed a application to dredge and fill over 100 acres of wetlands inside Orange County. And what we have done is to file an action against not only the developer, but also the Florida Department of Environmental Protection to block them from destroying these wetlands, because these wetlands are important. They filter water that comes down from Wild Cypress Swamp through these two streams, Wild Cypress Branch and Boggy Branch, that empty into the Crosby Island Marsh that feeds clean water into Lake Hart and Lake Mary Jane. So this is an integral part of the system of waterways within the county. And what if they're allowed to get these dredge and fill permits, what it would do is completely destroy the ecosystem that is providing clean water to those lakes. And what will happen eventually is the citizens of Orange County will have to mechanically filter this water. The water that's being naturally filtered now at no cost to the citizens, we're going to have to go in and clean this water mechanically at a great expense to us. So what we've done is we filed this lawsuit to block the issuance of what's called a 404 dredge and fill permit that would enable a developer to do this damage to this precious ecosystem.
And where does that litigation stand now?
Well, as a matter of fact, we heard from the Beachline South Residential, who's the developer. They filed a motion to dismiss. Prior to that, the Secretary Valenstein filed a motion to dismiss.
Former Secretary Valenstein.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an odd point, Amy, because even after he left office, according to this filing, he filed this action. Our governor was just here and he was talking about the importance of conservation land. So while I'm hearing in my ears you reporting about DeSantis talking about how important it is to preserve conservation land, with my eyes, I'm reading this motion to dismiss from his secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection, saying that what we're doing in protecting this waterway is frivolous, right? So here's DeSantis on one side saying we have $300 million to conserve land. And here on the other side, his secretary is saying that an action to just not issue a permit to destroy something, which would cost nothing, that the act of not destroying this would cost the state nothing. And on the other hand, we've got this. There's no other way to say it. It's duplicitous. It's duplicitous for the governor on the one hand to talk about the importance of conserving land, and on the other hand, his secretary saying what we're doing is frivolous.
The legislature this spring approved a measure making it harder to get constitutional amendments like these on the ballot. The measure placed a $3,000 cap on contributions to organizations like yours. How does that change things for you?
Well, you know, this is one of the good cases of being broke. Our political committee has no money. And as a result, because it has no money, it has filed a affidavit, what's called an affidavit of undue burden, which means we don't have to pay to verify the signatures that we get on the petitions. And because of that, we were not affected by the $3,000 cap. Now, the judge, I believe, in that case, the ACLU brought a case saying that, wait a minute, if you're saying on the one hand that through Citizens United that corporations can give an unlimited amount of money to get a political candidate elected, and yet on the other hand, if you're going through a citizens initiative, you can only give $3,000. Again, duplicity in the greatest sense of the word, duplicity. So now that the judge has put a stay, they haven't ruled in the case, but they put a stay. Anyone can donate more than $3,000 to a citizens initiative political committee. But again, we're operating. This is a purely grassroots effort. We have no paid employees. All the people that you see, if you do see them out at the library or a farmer's market, they are totally working voluntarily.
Your organization needs nearly 900,000 signatures per initiative plus state Supreme Court approval on the wording to get the amendments on the ballot. How are you guys getting the word out and everything?
We've been very fortunate to have a lot of good publicity. You know, what the amazing thing about this, okay, it's a broke political committee. We have no money. We have no paid staff. There's no paid executive director. And yet 60 days after the Secretary of State gave us the okay to go ahead and start collecting petitions, we see that Congressman Charlie Crist, who's running for governor, has put it into his clean water platform. So our right to clean water has gone from nothingness to an issue in the gubernatorial election. And, you know, we're very glad to hear about that. But we're also very appreciative of news services and newspapers and television stations that have given it some publicity, talking about it, doing stories about the five amendments, whether individually or as a group. So we've been very fortunate in that respect.
There have been other ballot initiatives on behalf of Florida's environment. How is this one different?
Well, this one is really of a different nature. No pun intended. This is, others have said, okay, we're going to work within the existing system and create new regulations to help slow down the destruction of our environment. This set of five is saying we are going to change the body of law from a regulatory system to a rights-based system. And we're going to incorporate the rights of nature into the state constitution so that individuals can enforce these particular constitutional amendments, that they don't have to wait for a Department of Environmental Protection to step forward and do it, because we are seeing now in area after area, whether we're talking about the Biscayne Bay or the Indian River Lagoon or the Caloosahatchee River or now Tampa Bay, the systematic failure of the regulatory apparatus to safeguard the protections of nature, specifically clean water in the state of Florida. What we have now is not working. We cannot keep building upon a system that has utterly failed the citizens of Florida and also the wildlife and the wild places of Florida that we all love and moved here for, or the reason why we stay here. All of this is, in essence, being destroyed at an accelerated rate, and it's time for the citizens of the state of Florida to step forward and do something about it.
Chuck O'Neill, you ran for the state Senate in 2016. Do you have plans to run for office again?
Never again. Never again, Amy. That was a real eye-opener running for public office. It enabled me to see what is wrong with the system, because so much of your ability to campaign, so much of your ability to move forward in the political realm has to do with your ability to raise money. So if you're continually reaching out to entities that have a lot of money, it is very difficult to represent those that have no money. And as a class, nature, wildlife has no money. And if that's what you're serving to protect, if that's what you're aiming to protect, you are going to have a very, very difficult time raising money to be an active candidate in the state of Florida. Now, you know, there are those who campaign on a platform of environmental protection, et cetera. And, you know, we hope that they follow through and do what they say. But this methodology of putting it in the Constitution for individuals to step forward in protection of nature is a complete change in paradigm that will be totally a part of being dependent on our elected officials and representatives This is dependent solely on the citizens of Florida and not upon a system that has continually failed us.
A campaign for a ballot initiative like this takes money. How is that different from a political campaign or a campaign for a candidate?
Well, that's a great question. For instance, here in Orange County, we were able to get this charter amendment on the ballot with absolutely no money. We kept going to meetings, to the meetings of the Charter Review Commission, and it cost no money to put the proposal in front of the Charter Review Commission. We were able to attend 11 meetings of the subcommittee that was formed to develop the language. We were able to go for free to the public meeting where they voted twice on whether to put it on the ballot. And then once it did get on the ballot, I was told that don't even think about trying to put something on the ballot without having less than $300,000 in the bank. All told, I think we spent about $30,000 in that entire campaign to get it into the Orange County Charter. And one of the gratifying things is if you go into the Muni Code of Orange County, you'll see this exact language that we proposed that is now part of the charter. So when we talk about the charter amendment, it's actually part of the charter now. And it's very gratifying that that happened, that got on the ballot for free. And then the entire campaign was $30,000. And here we are today talking about a lawsuit that's brought on behalf of Rivers and the citizens of Orange County.
I've been speaking with Chuck O'Neill, chairman of the Florida Rights of Nature Network. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Amy. We're hoping that people will go to the website, fl5.org. There you can download the petitions, print them out, sign them, date them, and mail them in to the main office in Maitland, where we can submit them to the Supervisor of Elections office. So if your listeners are looking to learn more about what we're doing, they can go to fl5.org.